new path of us.
And now, shining the spotlight on the future of hockey, the World Juniors.
Joshua Wall walks in, got the one.
Major Junior.
This is Logan Stankoven. I play for the Kamloops Blazers.
Hey, it's Matt Potcher from the Guelph Storm.
This is Axel LaRue from the Halifax Mooseheads.
Natai Gauthier. I play for the Quebec Ramparts.
Hey, guys. This is Ty Nelson from the North Bay Battalion, and this is the Pipeline Show.
NCAA.
This is Ryan McAllister for the Western Michigan Broncos.
This is Wyatt Kaiser from Minnesota Duluth.
This is Brock Faber from the University of Minnesota.
The NHL Draft.
This is Adam Fantilli of the University of Michigan.
This is Ryan Leonard. I play for Team USA.
I'm Nate Danielson of the Brandon Lee Kings.
My name is Adam Guyam. I'm playing for Chippewa Steel.
Hi, I'm Christian Sochin. I'm with the Seattle Thunderbirds.
Hey, this is Jacob Fowler, goaltender for the Youngstown Phantoms.
I'm Connor Bedard for the Regina Pats, and this is the Pipeline Show.
And more.
Bring it!
This is the Pipeline Show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Pipeline Show. My name is Guy Flaming. Thrilled to have you along again for another episode, whether you're downloading this one from Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from, or perhaps you're listening along as you're in your car driving around, or you're at home or in your office and you're listening to EdmontonSportsTalk.com. Have a big episode for you, three terrific guests, all of them draft eligible players. I'll tell you exactly who will be joining me via the Troubled Monk Hotline a little bit later in this segment. But of course, the Pipeline Show is brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. You can't win friends with salad. It's Alberta's best beef jerky. I've been telling you for 3-4 years now about Wilhauk Beef Jerky. Trust me, when you go in to either Leduc or Spruce Grove or at the kiosk in West Edmonton Mall, let them know the Pipeline Show sent you. They're going to treat you right. You're going to get some delicious beef jerky. And you'll know that I haven't been lying to you. Tender, juicy, perfectly seasoned. It's outstanding stuff. And if you're anywhere in Western Canada, you don't even have to make the drive into Edmonton. Just go to their website, wilhaukbeefjerky.com. Any order, any size, anywhere in Western Canada, they will ship it right to you. Before I get to the guest list, we got to go through the news and notes. And this time of year, it's exciting because the playoffs right around the corner. Some playoffs have begun. We'll start with the CHL's top 10. Two more weekends, including this weekend, of CHL regular season hockey. A new number one in the CHL. The Prince George Cougars up to the number one spot, followed by two clubs out of the Ontario Hockey League. That would be Saginaw and London. Baie-Comeau drops down to number four. They're followed by the Saskatoon Blades, the Portland Winterhawks, the Everett Silvertips. Then you have Drummondville, Rouyn-Noranda, and the Moose Jaw Warriors holding down the number 10 spot. We'll start with the standings in the queue because it's come down to really just two teams on who's going to make the playoffs or not. 15 of the 16 teams are locked in. It's coming down to Quebec or St. John, and technically Val-d'Or still mathematically in it, but they're not. The Ramparts have 46 points, St. John has 44, Val-d'Or with 35. There are 5 games left on the schedule. You can do the math. Val-d'Or basically cooked. So it's going to come down, in my opinion, to Quebec or St. John right now. The Remparts have a 1-victory advantage. Both teams have 5 games to go. Who do you think is going to be making it? I said it would be St. John, but every point crucial, and right now Quebec is ahead by 2. One news note out of the queue to pass on, if you hadn't heard, Jordan Dume has been suspended by his own team, the Halifax Mooseheads, for 5 games. That would be the 4 remaining in the regular season and the first playoff game. Why? Reports are, and the team isn't saying this is the reason, but reports are that he was charged with DUI. And so that would be a violation of not just the law, but team policy. So the Mooseheads have come down on their star player. So he will miss the first game of the postseason as well as the 4 remaining in the regular season. Meanwhile, in the Ontario Hockey League, the Western Conference has got their 8 teams. But seeding still very much up in the air. The London Knights and the Saginaw Spirit have built a bit of a cushion for themselves at the top of the conference. London and Saginaw separated by just 2 points. And then 5 back are the Sioux Greyhounds. The Kitchener Rangers have dropped back as well. Despite the fact they've won 8 of their last 10 games, they've fallen off the pace somehow with 82 points. I mean, they're 14 points back of the London Knights now. Meanwhile, at the bottom end of that conference, Erie, Guelph, Owen Sound, and Flint, they're in the playoffs, guaranteed all of them, but they could all shuffle position still, as only 3 points separating all 4 of those teams. So even though they know they're in, seeding could come right down to the final game of the year. In the Eastern Conference of the OHL, the Oshawa Generals have assumed number one spot. They have a 3-point lead over the North Bay Battalion and the Brantford Bulldogs and the Mississauga Steelheads. Still really tight. In fact, Sudbury and Ottawa have 77 points. That is 4 points separating the top 6 teams. That is really, really good parity in the OHL's Eastern Conference. The Kingston Frontenacs hold down the number 7 spot, and the Barrie Colts, who aren't officially into the playoffs yet, but lead the Peterborough Petes by 8 points for that final spot. I believe they could basically wrap it up and get themselves into the playoffs with some success this weekend. Closer to home with the Western Hockey League, still lots to be decided. In the Western Conference, the Prince George Cougars have locked up the BC Division. They have 92 points. It's going to come down to them, the Portland Winterhawks, and the Everett Silvertips for the number one seed in the conference. Prince George coming into the weekend with a 1-point advantage over Portland, but the Winterhawks with a game in hand. Meanwhile, Everett is just 4 points back of Portland. They have played a couple games more, though, so it doesn't look like the Silvertips will be able to catch Prince George or Portland, but certainly right there when it comes to a head-to-head matchup. Then it gets interesting for seeding, because the Wenatchee Wild are 4th, Kelowna 5th, Victoria 6th, Vancouver 7th, but only 4 points separating those 4 teams. Big weekend for the Spokane Chiefs. I believe if they get a single point, they will eliminate Seattle from playoff contention. Tri-City and Kamloops already out. Kind of a similar story in the Eastern Conference. Saskatoon far and away the conference top team. They have 97 points. Next would be Moose Jaw with 85, but they can't be ranked number 2 because they're in the same division. So as I'm speaking right now, it's Friday, and going into this weekend, Swift Current is ranked number 2 with 78 points, top seed in the CHL Central Division. But hold on, the Medicine Hat Tigers have 77 points, and Red Deer has 74. And wouldn't you know it, Swift Current and Medicine Hat play Friday and Saturday night, a home-at-home between the Broncos and the Tigers. Red Deer is the only other team that has clinched their spot in the playoffs. Brandon, Prince Albert, and Lethbridge are ranked 6th, 7th, and 8th as I speak right now. Only 2 points separating those 3 clubs. The Calgary Hitmen desperately need victories this weekend to stay involved. They are back of Lethbridge by 5 points for that final playoff spot. Lethbridge and Prince Albert, rather. The Hitmen are in Edmonton on Friday night to take on the Oil Kings, so Edmonton out of it, but have a chance to take someone else out as well. So playing elimination games, even when you're not in the playoffs. Oil Kings have been playing good hockey here as of late, really took it to the Lethbridge Hurricanes on Wednesday, winning 6-1. They also beat Prince Albert last weekend, went to overtime against Saskatoon, lost on a penalty shot, but playing some pretty good hockey. Colby Hay, goaltender of the week in the WHL. And in fact, the entire Canadian Hockey League, he was goaltender of the week. Unfortunately for Edmonton, in some regard, they've been toiling near last place in the league all season, but now they've passed Regina. And in fact, they've passed Kamloops and Tri-City and Seattle as well. They're now 5th from the bottom, which, if you're thinking of draft lottery, doesn't help them much. But I think that's loser mentality, that you want to finish dead last. So I'm okay with Edmonton playing better hockey as the season has gone on. Let's check in with the Alberta Junior Hockey League playoffs as round one gets going here tonight. We had the play-in series to get to this point, and Camrose needed overtime against Drayton Valley on Monday to get there, but they are in, and they are taking on the number one seed Whitecourt Wolverines. These will be best of 7 series, so it's number one Whitecourt against Camrose. Number 2 is Lloyd. The Bobcats are taking on the Canmore Eagles. Meanwhile, we have the Calgary Canucks against the Grand Prairie Storm and Bonnyville against Drumheller. And I like some of these matchups because we used to never get to see the North against the South until you get to the finals, which was usually Spruce Grove and Brooks. So some different matchups here this year, as there are three teams from what used to be considered the South Division and five from the North. So interesting matchups, and they all begin on Friday. Now, meanwhile, in the BCHL, still 12 games to go in the schedule. So playoffs still a few weeks away in the BCHL. The Surrey Eagles, far and away the best team in their conference, the Coastal Conference. Huge lead over the Chilliwack Chiefs. Much the same in the interior as the Penticton Vs, lead by a fair margin over the West Kelowna Warriors. And in the Alberta division, well, it's a little tighter. The Brooks Bandits have 22 points. The Sherwood Park Crusaders with 19. Looks like Okotoks and Spruce Grove and Blackfalds have kind of struggled since they left the AJHL. Okotoks and Spruce have only won 3 of their games. They've played 12 and 11 games, respectively. Blackfalds has only won 4 out of 12. Now, those are all just in the Alberta division of the BCHL, so 5 teams just repeatedly playing against themselves. But we'll see what the playoffs look like once they get going. Much the same in the USHL, as there's still a few weeks to go. Most teams have played, let's say, 50 games. Some have played 51, but it's a 62-game season. So most clubs still have a dozen games or so to go. The Dubuque Fighting Saints lead the Eastern Conference by 6 points over the Muskegon Lumberjacks. Madison in 5th with 54 points. They have a 3-point lead over the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders and the Chicago Steel. So those three teams looking to grab the last two playoff spots in the Eastern Conference. In the West, it's going to come down to either Lincoln or Des Moines, as right now Lincoln with a 1-point advantage over the Bucks. But everybody is looking up in the standings at the Fargo Force, who are in first place by a mile, 86 points. That's a 20-point lead over the next team in the conference and 16 points ahead of Dubuque. And let's get to the NCAA conference playoffs. Every conference now into the postseason. In the ECAC, we've got Quinnipiac taking on RPI. Dartmouth will host Union. Colgate welcomes St. Lawrence. And the Big Red of Cornell taking on the Crimson of Harvard. That's in the ECAC. That's the quarterfinals now. Semifinals in Atlantic Hockey has AIC, American International, against Holy Cross, and the heavy favorites, RIT, will be taking on Niagara. Keep in mind, one of those four clubs is going to make it into the national tournament, but you're going to have to win your way in. The NCHC finally gets going in the playoffs this weekend. Western Michigan will play St. Cloud State, North Dakota against Miami, Colorado College gets Omaha, and Denver will tackle Minnesota Duluth. Hockey East also starts this weekend, but not until Saturday. Massachusetts will get Providence, Boston University against Northeastern in a rematch of the Beanpot. Maine will tangle with New Hampshire and Connecticut. They got a tough one. They're going up against Boston College. In the CCHA, it's down to the semifinals. Minnesota State against Michigan Tech. Bemidji State will play Lake Superior. And one more conference. It's the Big Ten. Some interesting matchups. Ohio State upset Wisconsin last weekend. Wisconsin had such a good season, though, they are still going to qualify for the NCAA National Tournament. But if Ohio State has hopes of getting there, they're going to have to win the Big Ten. They are going up against the number one seed, Michigan State Spartans, though. And I say number one seed, that's in the Big Ten Conference, not overall. Minnesota and Michigan, these are two teams I think everybody was picking to have a pretty strong season, both of them, and maybe the top two teams out of the Big Ten. Well, Minnesota is the higher seed and had a good year. They'll be into the national tournament, but Michigan kind of on the bubble. They might need to win this game against Minnesota. They're sitting 10th in the pairwise right now, so I would lean more towards them being safe, but not safe enough just yet. Now, some coach changes in the NCAA coming up. Bowling Green has fired their head coach, Ty Eigner. Stonehill coach David Borges is retiring. First year in Division I for that program, but he'd been the head coach for that program for the last decade or so. He's now done. And a few weeks back, I think I mentioned, Lindenwood fired Rick Zombo. So there's three NCAA programs at least looking for a new bench boss. All right, all my guests will join me courtesy the Troubled Monk Hotline. Troubled Monk, craft beverages worth sharing. And as the weather has really warmed up, it's nice to imagine we'll be sitting on patios and maybe playing some golf. Not me. It's been a long time since I played golf. but lots of reasons to get out. You know, a month or two from now, you're out mowing the lawn, and when you're done, you want to kick back, crack open a delicious ice-cold craft beer. You can do that, and Troubled Monk is going to hit the spot. I recommend the Daycation, but they've got a few new ones, the Base Layer New England IPA and the Weekday Warrior. You might want to give those a try. Troubled Monk, located in Red Deer, Alberta, but available at any Alberta liquor store. Let me know what Troubled Monk offering is your go-to. The three guests that I have for you this week, as I mentioned earlier, all of them draft eligible. So these will all be 2024 draft spotlight segments. A couple of them defensemen who might go in the top 10, both of them. We're going to start with Ziv Buyum, who is a freshman with the Denver Pioneers. Outstanding season. He legitimately could hit 50 points this year as a defenseman, which will be well above a point per game. Also played for the United States at the World Junior Championship over in Sweden, where the Americans took home a gold medal. He will lead the show off. Then it'll be Clark Caswell from the Swift Current Broncos, who, in my opinion, may be flying under the radar a little bit in Swift Current. There's a lot of players out of the WHL eligible for the draft this year. Most of them get a lot more attention than Caswell, but Clark's got more than a point per game. He's playing on a pretty deep Swift Current roster right now, and he's the second leading scorer on the team. So we'll get to know Clark in our second guest segment, and we will wrap it up with Sam Dickinson of the London Knights. Might very well be the first defenseman taken in the NHL draft. He's having a monster year and is the complete package. Everything you want in a defenseman, you can get with Sam Dickinson. We'll get to know him to close out the show. So lots to get to. We're going to kick it off with Ziv Buyum of the Denver Pioneers. He's up first here on the Pipeline Show, brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky.
Second round pick of the Colorado Avalanche. Over to Gutman, to Savoy, and he's got a hat trick. Start throwing the hats. Give up the $24 hat. Throw it on the ice for Carter Savoy.
This is Carter Savoy from the Sherwood Park Crusaders, and you're listening to the Pipeline Show.
Don, buddy, want to come over and watch the game? I'll make a big salad.
I don't know, man.
Steve, come over and watch the game. I've got a massive salad here.
Yeah, my wife needs me to go shopping with her.
Mike, want to watch the game and eat salad with me?
Who is this?
Did I mention I've got a bunch of Wilhauk beef jerky, too?
I'll be right over.
I'm heading over now.
I'm already at your front door.
Wilhauk beef jerky, because you don't win friends with salad.
Wilhauk is the home of Alberta's best beef jerky.
In Leduc, Spruce Grove, and West Edmonton Mall.
You're listening to The Pipeline Show with Guy Flaming.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Hey, we're back on The Pipeline Show, and we're going to begin this week's episode. We're going to turn on the 2024 Draft Spotlight, get to know another player eligible for the upcoming NHL Draft. And we're going to begin this week. Oh, I couldn't think of a better guest to kick things off. Exciting times for the Denver Pioneers. We've got the NCHC Conference Playoffs going, starting this weekend. And the Denver Pioneers are right in the thick of it once again, as usual. Ziv Buyum, defenseman, outstanding defenseman this year. Just named this today, as a matter of fact, as one of the freshmen of the year in the NCHC. Ziv, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, but I'm not draft eligible. I'm not getting ready for the playoffs. So your life a little bit more exciting than mine. So let's focus on you. But as you get ready for this weekend, another meeting with the Duluth Bulldogs. Had success against them earlier this year in sweeping them. But the NCHC can't take a night off. Every team can beat every team in the league. So how do you get prepared for this weekend against them again?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just like you said, every team could beat any team. So for us, it's kind of just sticking to our process and you know, what we do week in and week out and, you know, what we believe we can do. So for us, it's nothing new, nothing out of the ordinary, and kind of just sticking to our process.
It is kind of a cliche, but is it about focusing on making sure you execute your game plan? And if you do, having a trust that everything will work out, or do you have to fine tune a little bit depending on the opposition?
No, I think for us, I mean, all year our objective is everyone's got to do their jobs and buy into the system. So I think for us, it's kind of, like I said, just kind of sticking to that process and, you know, sticking to what our standard is here. And obviously it's playoff hockey and it's the most exciting time of the year. So For us, it's kind of just amping it up even more and getting even more fired up for it.
Well, a heck of a season for yourself personally and for the team as well. But I know the team always comes first. Every player I talk to always says, you know, personal success is great, but it's all about team success. For yourself, 43 points this year in 34 games as a freshman. I mean, those are ridiculously good numbers. Be honest. A little surprised at the success you've had with the production, or is this kind of what you expected for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten this question before, and I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I go in every year, I want to do the best I can. I want to be a better player at the end of the year than I am at the start. And I think just with the coaching staff, the opportunities I was getting, you know, with the players here, I think everything just kind of fell into pieces. And, you know, it just kind of came right to me, and I just had to, you know, fill the puzzles. So for me, it was just kind of, you know, sticking to what I know, doing what I do best. And I think for me, it's just kind of just been flowing this year. And, you know, I've played with great guys around me. I've played with my brother. I've played with Sean Behrens all year. And, you know, this whole team, everyone's so great. So it makes my job pretty easy. So, yeah, I think, again, like I just said, it's kind of just been flowing this year, and I'm really grateful for it.
Well, you're making it look easy. I mean, last year, the last couple of years with the program, you've put up really strong numbers, but it's supposed to be a big jump to the college level. Yet you go from 40 points in 63 games last year with the program to way more than a point per game at the NCAA Division I level. I mean, that's a huge offensive jump. You're not surprised though. What's made it such an easy, or at least what appears to be an easy transition for you?
I think for me, it's just, you know, playing at the NCDP, you get an opportunity to play college teams and get that experience. And I think for me, it was kind of having that head start, almost a little bit of expecting, you know, what to get from teams, or, you know, that's going to be a faster pace, more physical, whatever it is. So, I also think just the confidence. I think my confidence has been really high this year. I think the coaching staff and the players have helped me a lot with that. And, you know, I think they kind of they let me have my stick in my hand and, kind of do what I want to do. And obviously, you know, they're teaching me things. I'm learning more, obviously, but, I think the main thing is just the confidence is super high, and I kind of feel like I can do anything out there.
I know for junior or young college players, consistency seems to be such a key and difficult to achieve, where you can bring the same sort of performance on a night-to-night basis. Stats don't always tell the whole story, but I think there's only 8 games this year where you weren't on the score sheet with some either a goal or an assist. How do you find consistency at this level?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, like I said, I mean, for me, I got, you know, certain things to try to focus on every game. And, you know, as I go through the years of my playing career, and I think for me, it's always trying to focus on my skating, my hockey IQ, defending hard, you know, not forcing anything, kind of letting the plays come to me. So I think, you know, when I'm doing those things consistently every game, I think I get my results. I think the team gets our results. And I think it kind of all around, it's great. So for me, it's kind of just sticking to what I know best, and kind of focusing on main points that I want to improve on. I want to, you know, I know those are the strengths of my game, and doing the best I can with those.
Zeev Bouya, my guest here on the Pipeline Show, as we get to know another player eligible for the upcoming NHL draft. Zeev, the Pipeline Show, it's a junior and college hockey show, so my regular audience will certainly be very familiar with the Pioneers, and probably yourself as well, but there'll be casual NHL fans who will tune in for a segment like this, just because you're a draft eligible player and of you know, certain notoriety already. But casual NHL fans may not care about junior or college hockey at all. So for the benefit of that portion of the audience, let's go back to the beginning. Where'd you grow up? What do you consider to be your hometown?
Yeah, San Diego, California. I was born there, you know, raised there, and played hockey there till I was 13 years old. So it's my home for sure. And I love it there, but yeah, definitely San Diego, California.
No, I know most people wouldn't consider, you know, San Diego to be a hockey hotbed. I know there are a lot of players coming from that area. I've had your brother on the show a couple of years ago, so I know his story a little bit. For yourself, I guess with two older brothers who played hockey, pretty easy for the third brother to kind of follow in their footsteps. Was it something about, you know, you go to the rink and watch them as a little kid that you just wanted to do the same thing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my cousin grew up playing, and he lived 5 minutes down the road from us. So, you know, Shai loved watching him play. I loved watching, you know, his games and whatever it was. And, you know, he begged my parents to to let him play, and eventually they did. So obviously my oldest brother eventually got into it. And like you said, you know, kind of just being the younger brother, you know, you're tagging along at the rink, you know, watching them, whatever it is. So for me, I kind of just, you know, saw them doing it, and I wanted to do it too, you know. So I actually started on rollerblades. I was rolling around the rink for about a year and a half before I even got on the ice. But yeah, I mean, the second I stepped foot on it, I kind of just loved it.
Does it translate fairly easily from roller hockey to ice hockey? Because I think going the other way for me, growing up on skates, basically ice skates, I think it would feel weird, like stopping and all of that. But I guess the basic skating motion, the mechanics of it are pretty similar.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot easier to go from roller hockey to ice hockey just because, like you said, I think stopping is obviously a lot easier on ice and cutting back and all that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, playing roller hockey and doing all that and going to the ice, I think it wasn't too big of a jump or anything like that. And, you know, I was really young, so nothing I remember too much. But, yeah, I mean, I think since the moment I stepped foot on the ice, I think skating has always been a strong suit to me. And I think maybe roller hockey had something to do with it.
Did you say that Shai was playing before your older brother, before Ben got into it, and then Ben got into it? So he started a little bit later?
Yeah, so Shai started around 6 years old, and he was, I mean, he was very passionate about it and loved every second of it. And Ben, I think Ben started when he was about 8 or 9, around that age. So, I mean, it wasn't too late, but yeah, definitely later than Shai and I.
Well, all three of you defensemen, if I got that correct. I think Ben was defenseman as well. Was that just again following in their footsteps? Did you try other positions along the way as you were growing up?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, the San Diego Ice Arena is where we played. So, I mean, over there was never really a certain position or anything like that. Everyone kind of played everything. So, for me, I mean, I played forward for a couple of years there, and I played forward at the Kings also. So, Shai played forward, Ben played forward too. So, you know, we all kind of played everything. And I think, we played forward for actually a good chunk of our youth career of just, you know, being with the San Diego Oilers and sometimes with the Kings. So, you know, I think for Shai and I both, the jump that we actually made to D was, at Shattuck. And the same thing was for Ben. We kind of, when we left California, that was the first time we really, you know, we're true defensemen.
Having that experience as a forward, in any way, does that help make you guys, or maybe just for you personally, a better defenseman?
Yeah, I mean, I think offensively, you kind of see things maybe differently than someone that was a defenseman for most of their life. And, you know, defensively, I think it helps also knowing, you know, what forwards are thinking, what you were thinking when you were a forward, what you're trying to do against, you know, a certain defenseman or a certain situation. So, I think it for sure helps. And obviously I'm really glad that, you know, I had the opportunity to play forward, when I was a kid.
Were you guys competitive as kids growing up playing against each other? I mean, up here, if you were Canadian, it'd be out on the outdoor rink and things like that. But, I guess you could play against each other indoor hockey down there, couldn't you? I mean, ice would be available to you.
No, oh, yeah, we were super competitive, obviously, the three of us. And, you know, the age gaps weren't too big. And, yeah, I mean, we were very, very competitive. Anything we did, even if it was outside the rink, it could be ping pong, we were competing with each other. So, for us, you know, we each wanted to win in anything we did. And, you know, whether that was, you know, outside playing roller hockey on the street or, you know, playing mini hockey inside. I mean, my brothers used to dress me up as a goalie and rip pucks at me, and I try to say as many as I can just because we were that competitive. So it's definitely a very highly competitive atmosphere at our house. And I think it's something that's kind of built who I am and built how I am as a hockey player. So yeah, I'm grateful for that.
That's a classic story. The older brother is making the kid brother put the pads on and take their shots. I know, yeah. I talked to a lot of guys on this show. Maybe when they were 6 or 7 or 8, their minor hockey league team didn't have a full-time goaltender, so everybody had to take a turn sort of rotating through. Did you have a night like that where you were in the net?
I did. I mean, I never actually played in a real game, goalie, but we did a couple scrimmages where I played goalie, and I actually loved it. I loved stepping on the pads and kind of just flying around out there, but it wasn't really for me. It wasn't something I really wanted to do, but, you know, I hear guys say that they kind of wish they were a goalie and their parents, you know, told them they're not playing goalie. So for me, it was kind of, I could do whatever I wanted, but definitely didn't want to play goalie.
Well, you went to Shattuck, like you said, your brothers did. Now, from there, though, you had the opportunity to play for the program, which obviously is a huge bonus for any of the guys in the States that are able to go that path. It wasn't something that Shai was able to take advantage of. When did that come onto the radar for you?
Yeah, I think Shai going through that year, you know, his year, he played up 16s, but would have been his 15s year. Getting scouted by the NCDP and whatever that was. I think that's kind of when it really came into the radar. I was playing my last year at the Kings, and we also went to Michigan, and we had a tournament in the USA Hockey Arena. So that's kind of the first time I was really, really exposed to it. And yeah, I mean, ever since I saw it, I mean, and heard all about it, I've always wanted to play for them and be a part of that, you know, such a great program. So, you know, when Shai didn't make it, it was kind of a knock on him, and you know, not in a bad way, but just, you know, it was hard for him. It was something he really wanted to do. So, you know, with all the training, everything there, we obviously thought it would help him a lot, but, you know, not everyone gets the same opportunity. And I think, you know, when I got to my 15s year, it was kind of like, all right, I set a goal for myself, and I was like, this is the team I'm going to make. I don't care if I'm going in as a sixth, seventh, eighth defenseman. I'm going to make this team, and I'm going to work my way up. And that's kind of what I did. I mean, I didn't come into that team as a very high ranked defenseman. My coach kind of saw me as a fifth, sixth guy. And, you know, in my head, in my will, I knew what I could do. And, you know, obviously by the end of my 18 zeros, you know, on the first power play and, playing big minutes. So, yeah, I think it's obviously a great place. The workouts are unbelievable. Brian Galvin's a great trainer. We had Will Morlock there our first year. And then obviously, yeah, it's phenomenal, and it's the best place to develop for sure.
And from there to Denver, and it can't be a coincidence that it's the school that Shai plays at. I imagine that was one of the selling features for you, was to get to play with him. I don't know if you ever got to play on the same team growing up. I know it's a couple of years between the two of you, and that might have been too much of a gap, but, to get to play at Denver this year must have been pretty special.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we never really played on an ice hockey team together at this high of a level. You know, never really competed on the same team, at a high level. So, I mean, we played roller hockey tournaments together and stuff like that, but nothing this intense. And, you know, the funny thing is my oldest brother actually was the one who brought up Denver when we were really young and saying how he wanted to go there. And obviously he kind of took a different route in life. And, you know, Shai was obviously fortunate enough to get the offer from Denver. And, for me, I mean, I was lucky enough to go on the visit with them. And, it just kind of felt like Shattuck to me. It was like, you know, when I stepped foot on campus here, I was just like, it's home to me. So, I loved it right away. And then obviously over the next couple of years, I realized how great the culture was and the coaching staff. And, you know, my brothers tell me how great it is. So, for me, it was a pretty easy decision, and it was a no brainer for sure.
Well, I imagine you get asked all the time, if you and Shai are very similar as players. He's bigger than you physically. You're putting up bigger numbers, although his number's nothing to sneeze at either. Do you have more similarities in the way you guys play than differences?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we're both very offensive. We think the game really similar. Our skills very similar. I think we obviously, you know, do things differently. He's a different, you know, body size than I am. So. You know, he does things that I can't do, and I do things that he can't do. So, that's also something that's great for us. You know, we can kind of see what we do best and, you know, kind of take things from each other, which is great. And, I think for us, it's, you know, just cause he's, you know, way bigger and I'm a little bit smaller. You know, we still learn from each other. We play very similar games. And I think the biggest thing is we just have really similar minds. And, I think that's, you know, when we're on the ice together, it also works really well just cause, you know, we kind of see the same things, together. So yeah, for me, it's awesome being on the ice with them, being on the bench with them, just being around them on the same team, you know, going into games. It's something really special, and kind of every game, every practice, you kind of just, you know, take it all in and realize how great it is.
Ziv Buyum, my guest here on the Pipeline Show, defenseman with the Denver Pioneers. You also had the opportunity to play for the United States at the World Junior Championship this past Christmas season. In what was, I mean, a pretty dominating performance for Team USA, pains me to say, because, you know, I'm up here in Canada, but it was an excellent tournament for you guys. And almost an easy gold medal game victory, it seemed like, from afar. But getting that opportunity to play on the international stage, and I mean, it's not necessarily new for you having played with the program, but getting to do it at the U-20 level must have been pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievably special. You know, as a kid, you dream about being in that tournament. You know, you watch it every, you know, after Christmas. So it's an unbelievable tournament. It was even more special to be a part of it, and to have the team to win the whole thing was unbelievable. So, I mean, for me, I think the second everything kind of settled in was kind of that last goal we scored. McGroarty kind of put in that empty netter, and we realized we're going to win the World Juniors, and everything kind of just starts to sink in. You realize, you know, how crazy it was and how crazy it is. So it's an unbelievable memory, and something I'm going to carry with me for the rest of my life.
To this point in your career, is that the moment so far that is kind of at the top of the resume?
Yeah, for sure. I would definitely say that. I think also, you know, the U18 World Championship medal too, the gold medal. So, I mean, that team, you know, we were together for 2 years, and it was such a battle every day. And, you know, we had a lot of struggles our 17s year. A lot of people doubted us going into our 18s year. And, you know, those guys are my brothers for life, and same with the guys on the World Junior team. And, yeah, I mean, it's obviously something super special. And, yeah, I mean, I love all those guys, and it was both great experiences.
Well, I got to ask you about the draft, and I know a lot of the players that I have on the show in their draft year, some of them say during the course of the season, they do their best to push the draft to the back of their mind, and they don't want to think about it at all. They don't want it to be a distraction. I have other players who tell me that it's the complete opposite. They want to embrace everything about the draft, and they want to know who's got them ranked where. They might Google themselves and things like that. Are you one or the other, or how do you kind of view it?
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of just been the kid who loves hockey because of, you know, the game itself. And, you know, that's why I started playing. That's why I play now. And I think that's something I've always been fortunate enough to have around me, is my family and, you know, just the people around me have always just been, you know, more about having fun and enjoying it and not losing that. So for me, again, you know, just like every other guy, it's obviously in the back of your mind. It's obviously, you know, as it gets closer, you start to think about. But for me, again, it's kind of just, you're at the rink. It's not in the back of your mind, or, you know, you're playing a game. It's not in the back of my mind. So it's more, you know, just, you know, when you're on your own, you're on your free time, you know, you can think about it, you know, every once in a while. But, you know, for me, when you got to get the job done in a game, or, you know, you're going into practice, I'm just having fun and doing my thing. So for me, it's not something I think about too much. I don't stress about it at all. And yeah, I mean, I'm just here to play hockey and have some fun.
Well, there is no real pressure in regards to, or mystery, if you're going to get drafted. It's just a matter of when and which team selects you. Does it matter at this point? You know, if you're a top 10 guy, like a lot of people think you could be, or just that somewhere in the first round, if you're not in the first round, you're a second, like Shai, does it really matter to you?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's kind of just, you know, I want to go somewhere that a team really wants me, and, you know, just a great opportunity ahead of me. And I think it's more important of where, or, you know, of what team than where you go. So for me, it's, again, like I said, it's not something I think about too much or anything like that. Again, like, you know, we got playoffs coming up, and it's a big push here. So for me, it's kind of just focusing on that and, you know, just letting that stuff take care of itself. It's not something I'm going to, you know, beat myself up over, or, you know, just overthink about. It's more just kind of, you know, play hockey. Like I said, I love hockey. I love playing it. And, you know, the most fun thing in the world is going to the rink every day and tying up my skates and getting on the ice.
Ziv, did you have a favorite team growing up as a kid, or are you one of those who maybe has individual players around the league that you look to instead of an actual team?
Yeah, not many people know this, but I actually love the Boston Bruins. As a kid, I mean, I love them. I don't know why, but I love Zdeno Chara. He was one of my favorite players growing up. And, I think I always thought I was going to be a really big kid. So I loved watching him play, and, you know, obviously didn't really grow to that size, but, yeah, I mean, for sure. That was just a team that kind of was my team. And I had a bunch of shirts and jerseys and blankets of the Bruins. So, yeah, they were definitely a team that I liked a lot. And obviously, you know, the Kings were a big team for me just growing up playing there and everything like that. So I've kind of shifted more, you know, I don't really have a certain team now, but just kind of anything.
Can a guy be a Kings fan and like a Ducks fan or a Sharks fan in California? Or do you have to kind of pick one and just be loyal?
I think it's pretty hard. I don't know if you can be a Ducks and a Kings fan. You might be able to be a Kings and a Sharks fan, but I don't think you can be a Ducks and a Kings fan. I don't think that'll sit well with anybody.
Yeah, we got the same up here, sure, with Calgary and Edmonton, no problem there. Before I let you go, in the off season, what do you like to do when you're not working out or on the ice training? You got to get away from hockey because it can't be hockey all year round. What do you do to just kind of unwind or relax?
Yeah, I love the summertime for that. I mean, I go golfing. I recently got into golf about 3 years ago, and it's kind of been something I've been loving to do. And I think that's something big. You know, going to the beach, obviously, in California, not many people get to do that. So, you know, whether finishing a workout or skate, maybe even going golfing and then to the beach or, you know, whatever it is. So, for me, it's kind of just hanging out with my friends, you know, just relaxing for me, kind of getting away from the rink, getting away from hockey, not talking about it, not thinking about it, just, you know, just being a normal kid. So, for me, that's kind of what I like to do, just relax and stay active and have fun.
Well, Zeev, this was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the conversation. Best of luck as the playoffs get going in the NCHC this weekend, whatever happens at the draft. I hope maybe we can have a chance to chat again one day. This is terrific. Thanks for making time.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
There is the one and only Zeev Bouyum. A big shout out and thank you to Ron Nabenbauer, who handles communications for DU. Went the extra mile to put that interview together. Haven't used Zoom in a long time. In fact, he was running it. That's why you heard those notification chimes in the background there. Not something I could control, so I apologize for that. But really appreciate the opportunity to get to speak with Zeev. Really well-spoken young man and having one heck of a season. As I mentioned at the start there earlier today, named by the NCHC to the all-freshman team. And why wouldn't he be? 43 points this year in 34 games thus far. NCHC playoffs just getting underway, and then still the national tournament ahead. Lane Hutson had 48 points last year. Could Bouyum outscore him in their respective freshman years? I say he will. Really strong draft class when it comes to defensemen, but I would not be shocked at all to see Bouyum taken in the top 10. Really strong offensive numbers, but we're not talking about, you know, a 5'10 or a 5'11 defenseman. He's 6'2 and 180 pounds. Yes, Shai's a little bit bigger than he is. I've seen him listed at 6 foot, though, as well. So I'm not sure if he's 6 or 6'2. I should have just asked him. At one point, he did say that Shai is way bigger, but he might have been talking about weight. Shai is listed at 6'4 and 210. A couple of inches at least, and about 30 pounds difference between the two of them. Really enjoyed that conversation, though. Pretty likable kid, and on the ice, he just seems like his stock has been going up all season, and as he described it at the program, he got in as a depth player, ended up as one of their key guys. So what's not to like? Hey, this was an NCAA Campus Report segment, though. Those, of course, brought to us by our friends at College Hockey, Inc. If you're a player or there's one in your family, you need to know the things that can affect your NCAA eligibility. So get in contact with Mike Snee or anyone at College Hockey, Inc. Use their website's terrific resource. Will answer a lot of the questions that you might have about playing college hockey. Next up on the program, well, scheduled to join me, or scheduled, I should have two more draft spotlight segments this week. I've reached out to both teams, but as of yet, they are not hard confirmed. So when we come back, fingers crossed, it'll be one of the two players that I hope to have on the show and the other in the segment right after that. More to come, though. You're listening to The Pipeline Show, brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky.
This is Rieger Lorenz from the Okotoks Oilers.
Second unit on. Devine, centering, tip, score! Rieger Lorenz, first collegiate goal, 1-0 Denver.
You're listening to The Pipeline Show.
passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Jake Gensel.
Gensel banks it towards the goal. He scores.
Kale McCarr.
He scores.
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious me.
Visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
You're listening to The Pipeline Show with Guy Flaming.
Comes around is all around.
Don't you mean what's all around comes around, Ricky?
Back on the program, and we're going to continue with the 2024 draft spotlight segments. Get to know another player eligible for the upcoming NHL draft. Quick reminder, The Pipeline Show is brought to you by Wilhock Beef Jerky. It's Alberta's best. You can get it in three Edmonton and area locations, Leduc, Spruce Grove, and West Edmonton Mall. Or if you're in Western Canada, go to wilhockbeefjerky.com, and they'll ship it to you any size, anywhere in Western, any order, any size, anywhere in Western Canada at wilhockbeefjerky.com. All right, my next guest is with the Swift Current Broncos, one of the top scorers for the Broncos this year. It's Clark Caswell. Clark, welcome to the program. How are things for you?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic, but you guys just keep winning here lately. The Broncos have caught fire, and just at the perfect time, isn't it? With the playoffs right around the corner, this is exactly when you want your team to start firing in all cylinders, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Didn't have greatest first half, but we're finding our flow right now, so it's perfect timing.
What's changed here over the last month? Because I know at the trade deadline, the team made a bunch of moves, brought in some talent, moved some guys out as well, but it didn't seem to click right away. It took a couple of weeks to really find your ground again. What's changed?
Yeah, I think it just always takes time for chemistry to build. But, those big additions helped with bolstering our back end, becoming a heavier, bigger team, tougher to play against. So I think that's been the biggest aspect that we've taken from it.
Well, as we're speaking right now, it's Wednesday. You've won three in a row and nine of your last 10. So like I said, everything seems to be working out right now. And for you, on a personal level this year, 69 points in 62 games. That's a fine number for sure. To what do you attribute this big jump in production? Because, I mean, you had a good year last year, 29 points, nothing wrong with that. But you're up, almost 70 points now. That's a huge jump.
I'd say just being more confident with the puck and making more plays myself, taking more chance, and not being afraid to do more stuff myself. So I think that's been the biggest thing.
Have your line mates changed much this season? I know with the changes to the roster, I'm guessing you've played with a few different people.
Yeah, we kind of stick with the same lineup most of the time, but I've been on probably all three lines, anywhere from with Geeky, Ward, Film, and all those guys, so it changes quite a bit.
Well, and I know part of the reason that you guys have turned things around, you mentioned Matthew Ward, back from injury now. He missed a chunk of time this year, so did Reed Dick. So it's not just the players that have been brought in, it's just getting some healthy bodies back too, and what a difference that can make.
Yeah, exactly. They're huge attributes to the start of the season. We lost a midway through, and it was a tough stretch, but having them back and just having that energy back in the lineup, it's great, and it's really shown in our past few games.
Well, with a victory against Prince Albert yesterday, again, as we're speaking, it's Wednesday, and things will change here coming this weekend, but the Broncos moved into first place in the WHL Central Division. How important is it to finish there as opposed to, being the number two seed out of the division or the number three seed, just with home ice advantage in the first round and the standings as tight as they are? I mean, Medicine Hat is right on your heels and Red Deer still within spitting distance as well. Finishing in top spot in the division, how important is that?
Yeah, it's huge to get home ice advantage, getting second place all the way to the conference finals if that's a situation, and I think our barn's one of the hardest ones to play in. So I think it will be a huge factor in our success coming up.
Clark Caswell of the Swift Current Broncos, my guest here on the Pipeline Show. Clark, this program is a junior and college hockey show, so my regular audience will know about the Broncos. They'll probably know about you as well. But there'll be casual NHL fans who will tune into this who don't care about junior hockey at all, but because you're a guy for the draft, they'll want to know some information about you. So for a portion of the audience, maybe let's go to the beginning and tell me where you grew up. What do you consider to be your hometown?
I'm from Brandon, Manitoba. played all my minor hockey there. So a big hockey town and a great place to grow up.
Who got you into hockey at a young age?
I think probably my dad and just everyone in my family. My older siblings played hockey, and it's just gotten the environment that Brandon brings to the kids. So I think just being around there helped me into it.
Did you grow up going to a lot of Wheat King games?
Yep, got some season tickets and billeted some players. So it was great going out to those games.
So are those special when you get to go head-to-head against your hometown team, even though personal connection to that team? So is that a game that's always easy for you to get up for?
Yeah, it's always awesome. Got lots of family and friends out there, and know some people on the other teams and coaching staff. So lots of connections, and it's always a fun game to play in.
You're a forward, Clark, but have you always been a forward? Throughout your minor hockey career, did you ever try other positions?
Yeah, I used to be a D-man up until Adam, I think. I think that was the position that most people played who were some of the top players. So, and then once I got to Pee Wee, kind of switched to forward.
Was it an easy transition to make?
I think back then, being a young age, it was pretty easy, but
right.
I think switching now or some when you get older, it might be a little bit tougher.
A lot of guys will tell me when they were 6 or 7 or 8, maybe their team didn't have a full-time goaltender, so everyone had to take their turn in net. Did you have an experience like that you can recall?
I might have tried it once, but it definitely wasn't for me. I like being out there and making plays happen. So,
tell me about the Bantam draft. To take me back to that day and what it was like. I know a lot of guys were at school, or some guys were allowed to stay home from school trying to follow along. Your year was a little different, the 2021 year. Usually the draft is in the spring, but that one, because of COVID, it was in December, wasn't it? What was that that day like for you?
Yeah, it was weird just with the timing of the draft and middle of school. So, yeah, I was in math class, and some of my buddies told me, and I was pretty excited, just couldn't leave the room. So I was kind of waiting to get into the hallway and celebrate with them a little bit, but it was an awesome time.
See, I mean, you had a lot of buddies that were drafted that year, and some pretty high as well, right? Richie was one of the guys from that draft who you just played against him yesterday. Pretty cool when you get to cross paths with former teammates at the WHL level now too, and maybe beyond.
Yeah, it's awesome. All those guys are making big impacts, and just being able to see them after the game, chat during the game, and kind of share experiences. It's been great, and it's good friendships going forward in hockey realm.
Well, you didn't have to wait long on draft day to hear your name, 6th overall pick by the Broncos that season. Going into the draft, did you have an expectation of where you might go? The cliche question, did you know Swift Current had their eyes on you? Had you talked to them much before the draft?
Yeah, I think a little bit. With the drafting in December, like you said, it was kind of a free-for-all. Nobody really knew too much about what was going on, but I had a general sense, and talking to Swift is one of the teams I wanted to go to, so couldn't be happier on draft day.
Well, it's interesting. Why was Swift one of the spots that you thought would be a comfortable one for you?
Just because they're Manitoba connections. I think we got 16 guys, 15 maybe, on the team from Manitoba, and it's a good young team, good community-involved team, so it's really easy to grow a family sense in here.
What's the biggest difference for you now considering or compared to when you first pulled on a Broncos jersey? I know you played 3 games back in the year after you were drafted. You get to dip your toe into the WHL water at that point. I'm sure that helped you get prepared for last year, which was your full rookie season. But how have you evolved as a player here over the last couple of years?
I think just being more of a versatile player, not being one-dimensional in offensive game, but contributing to the defensive side, playing PK or late-minute situations, just kind of being a trustworthy guy to play all scenarios in.
I'm looking at it, says 5'11 and 176 pounds, but I don't know if that's current or if that was at the start of the season or maybe even late last year. What are you at right now, Clark?
Those numbers stay the same.
Do you think you've done growing or filling out, or is that, I mean, some man strength is bound to come just naturally over the next few years, but do you think you've topped out height-wise?
I hope not. I hope I keep growing, getting stronger, and yeah, like you said, falling out, but I'm just staying the course and physical activities and stuff like that will help me over time.
For those who haven't had a chance to watch the Broncos play, how do you describe yourself as a player?
Probably an offensive player that makes plays happen. responsible on both ends, but likes to create offense and scoring chance for teammates and myself.
Well, you got 21 goals, 48 assists right now. So when you say setting up plays or making plays happen, do you see yourself more as a playmaker than a shooter? Certainly you can score. 21 goals tells me you can find the back of the net. But is your natural instinct to be the guy who sets up the shooter?
Yeah, I'd say so. Probably a thing I'm working on is shooting a little bit more and taking more chance for myself. But finding teammates has been working this season. So it's easy to find those guys when they're that level of players. So it's been really good this year.
Clark Aswell, my guest of the Swift Current Broncos. Is the NHL draft something you spend much time thinking about, Clark? I know a lot of guys will tell me on this show that they don't want to think about the draft. They don't want it to become a distraction. But there are other players who tell me that they want to know who's got them ranked where. They use that as motivation. They might Google themselves and see what people are saying about them. What about for you?
I think just staying away from it has been a key for me. Just playing my game probably sounds cliche, but just focusing on myself and the results will come. So just got to trust the process there.
Is it something that you guys in the dressing room talk much about? There's a lot of drafted players on your team. Do you ever pick their brain about what it was like for them going through that process? And do they have some tips on, you know, what the NHL combine might be like or anything like that? Or is it something you just don't even bring up?
No, I like to pick the brains quite a bit. Yeah, like you said, we got a lot of talented players that are drafted and have been through that process. So it's been great just to talk with them and kind of get some of their experiences so I can learn a little bit and do the best I can when I get there.
Growing up in Manitoba, were the Jets your team? I don't want to assume that. And you might be one of those guys who cheers more for individual players at the NHL level as opposed to a team. What was it for you?
I was more of a Leafs fan. My dad's from Sudbury, so his family's always been a diehard Leafs team. So he's kind of just transitioned all of us into being Leafs fans. So I think that's been the way that it's went.
Well, I haven't had much to cheer about over the last, I don't know, since 1967, but I guess eventually yeah. It's going to turn around for the Leafs, I'm sure. Any particular players either with the Leafs or at the NHL level that you look to for inspiration?
Yeah, my favorite player has been Mitch Marner since his OHL days. So that's probably one of the reasons I stick with him. And he's just fun to watch, fun to see evolve, and just a great player overall.
Is that a guy that you think you can look to and say, you know what, we're kind of similar in this regard? I can probably use that to my advantage.
Yeah, I think so. Just being maybe not the biggest guys, but being able to use our hockey sense to make plays and protect ourselves out there and create a living, finding open guys and creating chances.
Clark, what do you like to do away from hockey? Maybe it's the off season or something. When you're not working out, you're not training, you're not on the ice skating, preparing for the next season. What do you like to do just to get away from it and unwind a bit?
I'm a pretty big golfer, and I like to fish occasionally, so those are probably the biggest two.
Those are probably the two most common answers I get. So when you're golfing, what's the course you like to get out to the most and play? You know you're going to have a pretty good round. It doesn't have to be a world-famous course. Just could be your local track. Where do you like to go play?
Yeah, I usually stick with Brandon course, Wheat City. It's well-run, well organized, well staffed, so it's always a great place to go out and play.
And lots of lakes in Manitoba for sure. So what do you like to go out and fish? What do you try to catch?
Usually some bass. Usually I head over to my cabins in Ontario, near my dad. So usually we're just fishing little bass and just having fun. Again, those guys.
Well, Clark, I really appreciate your time. Best of luck the rest of the way here with the Broncos as the playoffs get a lot closer. Should be an exciting postseason for sure, whatever happens to the draft. Best of luck, man. I appreciate you making time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
There's Clark Caswell from the Swift Current Broncos, who have a huge weekend series against Medicine Hat coming up home at home on Friday and Saturday. It's a home game on Friday night for the Broncos against the Tigers, and then they go to Medicine Hat on Saturday, and then they're up here against the Edmonton Oil Kings on Sunday. So two huge games on Friday and Saturday, and then a road game against the Oil Kings, who really have nothing to play for, but have been playing some really good hockey here as of late. Just beat the Lethbridge Hurricanes. In fact, lopsided victory 6-1 over the Hurricanes.
They also beat the Prince Albert Raiders, went to overtime against the Saskatoon Blades. Colby Hay named WHL Goaltender of the Week, by the way. So Edmonton, since being eliminated, and in fact, actually before, since before that as well, they'd started to play some pretty decent hockey. Just unfortunately, too late in the season for it to matter when it comes to staying in the hunt for the playoffs. When we come back, well, at the moment, I'm not 100% sure what we'll be doing when we come back. Playing phone tag with a team to try to line up another draft-eligible player. This is an OHL-based team. And if that falls through, I will find something else for you. You're listening to The Pipeline Show, brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. Stick around.
Hey, I'm Zane Prack from the Saginaw Spirit.
Shades away and drops for Sapovalov. They stay at the top of the zone. One more drop. Sapovalov for Parekh down the wing. Go. Heads to the net. Here's Parekh. Shoots and scores! Are you kidding me? You can't do that! Zane Parekh in overtime!
And you're listening to The Pipeline Show.
I never get true answers. I never tell no lies. I never walk a straight line. So never get
The Oil Kings are Edmonton's first choice for family fun.
Your Edmonton Oil Kings are back in the thick of it, taking the WHL by storm. And you can be right there cheering them on.
Great family entertainment starts at just $20 a seat, or never miss a game with season seats as low as $9 per game.
Thrilling Western Hockey League action, amazing theme nights, and special price kids' food combos at every home game for $10 or less.
The entertainment value is king-sized.
Secure your seat for the next action-packed, exciting Oil Kings home game today at oilkings.ca.
You're listening to The Pipeline Show with Guy Flaming.
I used to be able to throw a pigskin 4 miles.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Final segment to go on this week's episode of the program, and we are going to keep the 2024 draft spotlight turned on, and we're going to get to know another player eligible for the upcoming draft. A quick reminder, Wilhauk Beef Jerky, it's the absolute best beef jerky you've ever had. It's Alberta's best, but trust me, your taste buds will thank me for it. Get it in 3 Edmonton and area locations or anywhere in Western Canada by going to their website at wilhaukbeefjerky.com. All right, we head to London, Ontario, and the defenseman who might be the first defenseman taken in the NHL draft this year, Sam Dickinson, my guest. Sam, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to get a chance to speak with you right now. Exciting times. Playoffs right around the corner. The London Knights sitting in first place in the OHL. And atop the Western Conference, obviously, as well. What's the atmosphere like in the Knights' dressing room right now as the playoffs get closer?
Yeah, you know, we're all really excited for the playoffs to start to roll around. And at this point, you know, it's everything about fine-tuning, our game and getting ready for the playoffs to, you know, hopefully go for another deep run like last year.
Well, it's still some work to do. The top spot isn't completely locked up yet. Saginaw right on your heels. That means that you really can't take a night off, can you?
Yeah, no, obviously, you know, with them right on our tails, you know, we're still going every game battling hard for that first place spot. Yeah, you know, we all know how important that is to get for home ice. And, you know, yeah, like you said, it's just kind of going in and making sure we're still playing our best every night to lock that up.
I don't want to look too far ahead, but in the first round, you're going to be obviously heavy favorites in the first round. But there's 4 teams that you could be playing. They're all separated by 2 points, Owen Sound, Erie, Guelph, and Flint. Is there one of those that is a better matchup than the others for London, or kind of, without sounding cocky, does it matter?
You know, it's the playoffs, so you never know what can happen. Obviously, you know, crazy things happen when the playoffs roll around. So, you know, we're not really super worried about, you know, who we're going to be playing in the first round. But, you know, like you said, worried about getting that first place spot. And then, you know, once kind of the order shakes out of who we're going to play, then we'll start to kind of worry about that kind of thing and, you know, make sure we get our matchups right and are ready for whoever we play of those 4 teams.
For yourself this year, Sam, huge season offensively, 18 goals, 66 points in 64 games as we get into this weekend's action. That coming off a rookie season, which everybody thought was pretty impressive. You had 23 points last season. Huge jump, though, offensively. Is that more just a 1 year under your belt, a little bit more comfortable, probably getting more opportunity as some guys moved on and aged out of the league? What do you chalk up the big jump in stats to?
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's a combination of all those things, really. I think, you know, anybody who's, you know, going into their second year will say that, you know, the confidence has definitely been, you know, improved from that first season. So for myself, you know, getting that first year under my belt was big. And that was kind of huge for the confidence and this little boost that I've had. And then obviously with a couple guys aging and, some guys moving on, the opportunities have come a little more for me. But yeah, like you said, it's kind of those two main things there with, definitely a confidence boost and, taking advantage of the opportunities that I've been given so far this year.
Sam, has your defensive partner been the same guy all season or has that changed throughout the year?
For us, for our team, it's jumped around a little bit, but for the most part, I've been with Jackson Edward and Oliver Bonk.
Are they similar players? I don't get to watch the Knights very often, but I know Bonk's got a lot more points than Jackson Edward does. What's the best sort of defensive partner for Sam Dickinson, though? What you need somebody that complements the way you play. What type of player would that be?
For me, it's a reliable player. Both of those guys that I play a lot with are very reliable. Shut down guys in the D zone, and also, when we're moving that puck up ice, they can make plays and get that puck fired up the ice quick. Anytime I get out there with anybody on our team, I know that I can trust them, and it's a big thing to have with your D partner. Have a guy that you can trust and rely upon, and also have that the other way where they can trust and rely upon you to make plays and have your back if things go wrong.
Nice, well said. Are you at all surprised about the offensive numbers that you've put up this year, or is this what you expected from yourself?
I'd say it's what I expected of myself. Coming in this year, obviously, had a lot of goals set for myself, obviously in the team as well. And, some of these, individual stats have been something that, were pretty important to me. So, where I've put myself this year in that kind of situation has been big for me. And I think, it's been a contributing factor to, a lot of wins for our team as well.
Sam Dickinson of the London Knights, my guest here on the Pipeline Show in the 2024 Draft Spotlight segment. Sam, this program is a junior and college hockey show, so my regular audience will know all about you already and about the London Knights, the OHL. They'll have the stats up and everything. But there'll be a lot of casual NHL fans who will listen to this because of you're such a highly touted prospect for the upcoming draft. And a lot of NHL fans don't care about junior hockey at all, so they might never have seen you play. For the benefit of that portion of the audience right now, maybe let's go back to the beginning and get some background. What do you consider to be your hometown?
I'm from Toronto, Ontario.
How old were you when you first started playing hockey? Do you remember?
I'd say I probably started playing hockey like most kids in Canada, probably around 3 or 4 years old, kind of right when became possible, definitely started playing.
Anyone in particular who got you into the game, or was it just all your friends started doing it, so you wanted to be like them? Or, a lot of guys would say it was their father or something like that.
Yeah, mine was definitely a little bit of both there. Kind of a lot of friends started getting into it as well. But then, my dad kind of, pushed it on me as well to start playing, and I definitely did that for those reasons there.
Well, you're a defenseman now. Have you always been a defenseman, Sam, or did you try other positions along the way when you were a kid?
Basically played everywhere. I played a couple seasons as a goalie when I first started playing hockey, and then after that I was a forward for a little bit, and I've only really been a defenseman for the last 4 years or 5 years about.
Well, that's interesting. I usually get guys will tell me maybe when they're 6 or 7 years old their team didn't have a full-time goalie, so everyone had to take their turn in net. Sounds like you did a lot more than that, a couple of years as a goaltender. Why? What got you interested in that position early on?
Early in my career when I started playing, I couldn't make the team that I was trying out for, and they happened to need a backup goalie, so signed up for that, and then played backup goalie for the team for a year there, and then after that year I went back out and started playing forward after that, said I'd never put on a pair of pads again.
That's interesting. Did that change of position from goalie to forward and then back to defense, having that experience at all of the positions, do you think in any way it makes you a better defenseman?
I think a little bit it does. I think, knowing a little bit about, being a forward and being a goalie as well, it's helped me a little bit to, know a little bit of that perspective of, what they're trying to do, what forwards are trying to do, what goalies are trying to do. So I think definitely, playing those positions has, helped me as a defenseman to kind of, better understand forwards and goalies and kind of their mindset and, maybe plays and read that they're going to be looking to try and make.
Sam, take me back to the OHL draft for a minute. I know it's a big day for a lot of guys. Might be a little bit different for you to reflect back on that. You were taken very high, fourth overall, but by Niagara. And I know the way things worked out where you were traded to London. What are your memories of draft day?
For draft day, it was obviously a really huge night for me and my family. Like you said, to be drafted, as high as I was kind of a testament to to, you know, the hard work I'd put in, and really meant a lot to me to, you know, be drafted so high. And then, you know, again, a little bit later on to, you know, be able to come here and play in London was, you know, just as big as, you know, draft night, to be able to come and play for such an unbelievable organization. And, you know, it's been, you know, one of the best decisions in my hockey career to be able to come here and play for London.
I don't want to make it awkward, but clearly Niagara wasn't a place you wanted to play. At that time, were you thinking about potentially exploring the NCAA route before the trade to London, or what was sort of going on behind the scenes there?
Yeah, leading up to the draft, I you know, took a good look into, you know, all options for me, you know, where I could potentially be playing next year. You know, definitely the NCAA was a route that I looked at, along with the USHL. But then, like I said, you know, once kind of the option to come play here in London sort of came up, it kind of washed everything away and, you know, made it pretty easy to make the choice to come and play here in London.
Well, with a franchise like the Knights that have produced so many future NHLers, obviously a destination a lot of players would make if they could have that choice. So the fact that you were able to end up going there via trade was obviously a good landing spot for you. How have you evolved over the last couple of years? Go back to when you first pulled on a Knights jersey compared to where you are now. How have you changed as a player?
I think the big thing for me is, you know, my offensive game, I think, has come a long way. I think, like you said, with the jump in offense that I've had this season has been, you know, a big factor of, you know, taking my game to that next level. And I think also, you know, playing here in London, the big thing that it teaches you is, you know, to have a lot of maturity in your game. I think since I've been here, you know, the way that I play has changed a lot. You know, I feel a lot more confident on the ice, and I think just kind of, you know, I feel very mature when I'm out there. I think the plays that I make, you know, people would say that about me, and I think it's become a big strong suit and asset to my game as well.
I know I get a lot of players in their draft year on this show, and a lot of them will tell me during the course of the season they don't want to think about the draft at all. They don't want that to be some sort of distraction that would affect their game on the ice. I have other players who tell me it's the complete opposite, where they might Google themselves and see what people are talking about them, saying about them. They might check to see who's got them ranked where, and they really want to use that almost like motivation. What about for you, Sam? Do you think much about the draft or the rankings?
For me, you know, I think I'd be lying if I said I never looked at it. You know, I'm not going out of my way to search things up and see things like that. But, you know, if something comes up and I see it, or if, you know, guys are telling me a little bit about something of what's happening, you know, it's obviously something that you listen to and hear a little bit about. But for the most part, I try to kind of, you know, see things once and then kind of forget about it. You know, there's hundreds of lists that people are making. So, you know, you never really know what's going on or anything like that. So I try to kind of, you know, just put that sort of stuff in the back of my mind and focus on going out there and playing hockey and, you know, doing what's best for my team, most importantly.
You're right. There are a lot of rankings out there. Everybody, I haven't seen one that doesn't have you in the top 10, and most have you in the top 5. It's a really, really strong draft by the looks of it for defensemen. What sets you apart from other defensemen, not just out of the OHL, but the rest of the guys in the draft class? I'm sure you've played against a number of them. Is there something unique about your game?
I think the big thing for my game is, like I said, you know, along with the maturity that I play with, is, you know, I think the combination that you get with, you know, the size that I am and my skating ability is something that, you know, not only do you not find often in, you know, a draft prospect, but you don't find it very often in a hockey player, I think, for how big I am. And, you know, the way that I can move around the ice is, you know, a really strong suit to my game. And I think that another big thing is my defensive game as well. I think, obviously, you know, the offensive side of it and the point totals that you can see are pretty easy to, you know, come along. But I think, you know, my defensive game is, you know, one of the best, if not the best, out there. And I think, you know, that's kind of something that sets me apart, being a guy who can already defend, you know, the best players in the OHL. And I think a guy who can defend, you know, players beyond that as well.
You mentioned your size. The sheet I'm looking at lists you at 6'3 and 195, but I don't know if that was at the start of the year or how up to date that is. What are you at now?
Height's about the same at around 6'3, and I'm up to about 205 pounds now.
Well, that must be a challenge to put weight on during the course of a season. I know you guys are on the ice a lot, and well, I guess your travel schedule is a lot easier than it is out here in the WHL, but with the OHL travel schedule, you're still playing a lot of games. Is it difficult to add muscle mass during the course of the year?
Yeah, it definitely can get tough. You know, you're always kind of on the ice working out and, you know, sweating up pretty good. So you're losing weight pretty good every day. But, you know, my diet's been really important for me, making sure that, you know, I'm always eating the right things to make sure that I'm recovering right and, you know, doing the right things for my body. So my diet's been really big. And I think, you know, the weight that I've been put on has been, you know, a huge impact, has had a huge impact on my game and benefited me very well from, you know, from the beginning of the year to now.
Being a Toronto kid, I don't want to assume the Leafs are your team or were your team growing up. Were you cheering for somebody else there behind enemy lines or were you a Leafs fan?
Growing up, my favorite team was actually the Montreal Canadiens. So got a lot of hate from my friends.
I guess that's pretty good. How do you fall in love with the Canadiens while you're living in Toronto?
My dad was a Canadiens fan, so it just kind of fell upon me and my brother as well to be Montreal Canadiens fans.
Perfect. Sam, in the off season, what do you like to do to kind of get away from hockey? If you're not working out or you're not on the ice training for hockey, what do you do to unwind?
Yeah, for me, it's a lot of time spent up at my cottage. You know, I enjoy, you know, being on the lake, on my boat, playing golf, and that kind of stuff. You know, up at my cottage with friends and family is where a lot of my time away from the rink in the summers is spent.
A lot of fishing, or is it more like tubing and water skiing or stuff like that?
I get a good combination of both. You know, I enjoy fishing and also kind of that tubing, water skiing stuff is pretty fun as well.
What kind of fish?
My lake, just a lot of bass, you know, not super big ones, but, okay. You know, just kind of go out there with, you know, friends and, you know, just have some fun.
All right. Well, the last one, whenever a guy tells me he's a golfer, I got to ask what's his favorite course. Doesn't have to be a world famous one or anything. Might be just your local track that you like to get out and know you're going to have a fun round. Where do you like to play?
My favorite course is a course my dad's a member at called Coppinwood, just outside of Toronto in Uxbridge, Ontario. Is one of my favorite courses that I've ever played.
Well, Sam, hey, I really appreciate your time. Best of luck come playoffs and whatever happens at the draft. Thank you for taking the time for the Pipeline Show. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me on.
There's Sam Dickinson of the London Knights, who is having a fantastic year and getting a lot of accolades. Could very well be the first player, not just out of the OHL, taken for the upcoming NHL draft, but might be the first defenseman. And it is a really deep crop of blue liners available this year. Here's just a sampling of some of those defensemen getting a lot of attention. Zeev Bouyum, who you heard in the first guest segment on this week's episode. Carter Yakimchuk of the Calgary Hitmen, who's been on the program before. Zane Parekh of the Saginaw Spirit, who was on a week or two ago. Artem Levshunov, who is playing for the Michigan State Spartans. All of those guys could be top 10 picks. Charlie Ellick and Brandon, Ottawa's Henry Muse. Ben Danford from the Oshawa Generals, can't forget about him. Colton Roberts of the Vancouver Giants getting some attention as well. And that's just the guys playing in North America. Anton Saleyev, Adam Juracek from the Czech Republic, Aaron Kiviharju from Finland, seeing more and more about Dominik Badinka, also from the Czech Republic, but playing in Sweden. So the crop of defensemen, extremely deep this year, but Sam Dickinson's going to be one of the first ones, if not the first defenseman taken overall. Well, that will do it for this week's episode of the show. It was a trio of Draft Spotlight segments. Appreciate Sam being available. Thanks to Alex Brown from the London Knights for setting that up. Also heard from Zeev Bouyum of the Denver Pioneers and Clark Caswell of the Swift Current Broncos. Playoffs right around the corner. We'll be checking out what's happening in the NCAA starting this weekend as all the conferences finally beginning their playoffs. Edmonton Oil Kings are in action. Locally here, they've got Swift Current on Sunday, and Friday night the Calgary Hitmen are in town. I think if the Oil Kings win that game, it would officially eliminate the Hitmen from the playoff race. So lots on the line for Calgary, not so much for Edmonton, although playing a spoiler against one of your arch rivals, yeah, I think you can get up for a game like that. But playoffs always provides lots of fodder to talk about, so we'll be doing that next week on the show, I am sure. Shout out to everyone who has signed up to be a patron at patreon.com/thepipelineshow. Can't do the show without your support, which I really, really appreciate. A couple of bucks a month is what it costs, American. And you can have early access to all the interviews that you hear on a full show. For instance, this past one with Sam Dickinson I did on Thursday. It was available to patrons shortly thereafter, whereas the full show doesn't come out until Friday, where it's made available to the general public. Patrons have had access to that interview for a full 24 hours, and the others before that were done earlier in the week, like with Zeev Bouyum on Tuesday. The general public is only hearing that starting on Friday, but patrons get access to it on Tuesday. If that's something that would interest you, or maybe you just want to take a 7-day free trial, you can do that as well. Go to patreon.com/thepipelineshow. Free trial, you get instant access to over 800 archived interviews. I think you will enjoy exploring the depths of the vault. Also, a shout out to EdmontonSportsTalk.com, where you can hear this show on Saturdays, usually in the afternoon, and Monday evenings. That always depends on what the Edmonton Oilers schedule is like, because the boys have lots of pre- and post-game content around that, so my little show might get pushed around a little bit, but that is completely understandable. Dustin Nelson, Tom Gazzola, Lieutenant Eric, Matthew Iwanek, cast of thousands. Really entertaining. If you are outside of the market and haven't given it a try, go to EdmontonSportsTalk.com. You can listen live. They have everything live streaming as well, so you can watch them on YouTube. Really great setup that Edmonton Sports Talk has put together, and I'm happy that the Pipeline Show is a small part of it. But that's it for this week. So between now and next week, get out and watch some junior college hockey so that we can talk about it right here on The Pipeline Show. It's brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky, and my name is Guy Flaming. See ya!